On July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was published. I am keenly aware we're in the Christmas season. We're going to take you back to a little bit of this here for an opening. Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, along with a few others, wrote this declaration to announce and to explain the need for separation from Great Britain. The people in this country were tired of being under the rule from Great Britain, and they wanted to become independent. I quote, "The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." And then the declaration lists a number of accusations against the King of Great Britain, which caused the people to demand their independence. This letter, written over 242 years ago, is still considered a highly valued document to this day. But what the writers did, they wrote what they considered of utmost importance and did their best to state the reasons to take the big step of instituting a new government. Written years ago, and yet to this day, many people remember July 4th as our Independence Day, an important time in history of this nation. And I share this tidbit of information to ask a simple question. When they wrote that, they sat together, and if you look it up, it's like 12 or 13 states, and different men from every state got together to write this. I just named a couple of the key men that wrote that. And they zeroed in on what was important in the day, and that's what they penned. And the question I'm asking you this morning is a simple question, and the question is, what is important to you? What is important to you today? 2 weeks ago, talking with a brother here at church, he is here this morning. In the discussion, he said this. He said, "We are all busy, but what are we busy doing?" Question that he asked, I didn't forget. Basically, we could ask ourselves the question this morning, what is, not that being busy is bad, that's not where we're headed, but what is consuming our time? And I believe the answer to the question could vary depending on our age, obviously. What's important to a five-year-old and during this season, we heard it. And be what probably a little bit different was important to me. But the answer to that question would vary depending on our age and quite obviously our priorities. The fact is that we will use our time to accomplish whatever we consider important. Back in July of this year, my wife and I had the privilege of being a chaperone couple at a cabin weekend for a class, and that class today is the senior class at Terry Hill Mennonite High. And that weekend, I was asked to share a devotional, and so what I did, I divided the group into the class into four groups, and each group had, I gave them a paper with a question on, and I said, "You go there, divide them up, and come back with four answers for every question." So we had four groups, four questions, and they were going to come back with four answers. And this morning, I'm going to take them four questions that I asked, and at that time, 17, 18-year-olds, and that's going to be the main points for the message this morning. We have a senior from Terry here this morning, and I did not request permission to do this, so this is a case where maybe it's better to ask for forgiveness later than to ask for permission. Question number one, I repeat, what is important to you? If you were to write down four things this morning, what would you write? Turn to Philippians chapter 3 for a few verses this morning. Philippians chapter 3, let's read verses 7 through 10. Paul's saying, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. Paul is stating the things that he thought were worthwhile, everything that he at one time had considered important. If he made a list, that list he discarded. He threw that away, and he tells us why. And the answer is, in order that he could place his complete trust and hope in Christ alone. And that was important to Paul. How did he arrive at this point in his life? And how can we? He considered everything else, fill in the blank, as worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ. So maybe you didn't write a list of what was important to you, but I trust that if you did, on top of that list, it's just to that relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. Previously, he had placed a high value on his heritage. Let's look at verses 4 through 6. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinking he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more. So he's telling him prior to meeting Christ, he said, he lists his credentials. Verse 5, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm from the stock of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, he's a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law. Did everything. And he looked at his heritage to the point of considering himself at the end of verse 6 to be blameless. All that he thought was great is now what he is throwing away. It's gone for Christ's sake. He considered it as a loss, or as it could be, as if it was lost at sea and unrecoverable. All that he thought that made him great in the past is gone. So what was important to Paul? And the message this morning is simple. It is to know Jesus Christ. Personally knowing him, personally knowing Christ and being loved by Christ is of utmost importance. And I don't think I stated it yet, but the title of the message is of utmost importance. Paul's list that we see in verses 4, 5, and 6 changed, and he gives us a new list that I read earlier, that he may win or gain Christ. That's one of his goals. This morning, or we here this morning said, you know, one of my priorities is that I can win Christ. Second thing on his list, that he may be found in Christ. Coming from verse 9, so that his righteousness that he's saying would not be his, but it'd be the Christ's righteousness in him. If you think about that, when it's all said and done, is the character of Christ evident in our lives? Is the character of Christ, which we can read about, is that evident in our lives? When people see us, do they see the character of Christ? The third thing on his list, that he may know Christ with personal experience in his daily living, coming from verse 10. And no, we're not going to be followers of Paul, but we're going to be followers of Christ. But I trust that we can just use him as some examples for us this morning. Do we have that within us? Is that our desire? That personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And number 10, from verse 10, number 4, that he may know the power of Christ's resurrection. And one day we will experience that more fully. But Paul was willing to give his all to know Christ, to the point that he was willing to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We talked about being sold out. We talked about being committed and being dedicated. That is where we need to be. But to the point of just giving our all to Christ. And in this season, we get so sidetracked with things of this world. We need to be so careful and cautious that we don't take Christ out of our lives, that we give him our all, which he deserves. So the challenge this morning is, do you consider knowing Christ of utmost importance? We're living in a day and age where our minds and our attention is so distracted to other things, but may we keep that as a forefront. Above all else, do you have a desire for a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Master? Is that important to you? That weekend at the cabin, one of the guys was wearing a hood sweater that said this. It said, education is important, but hockey is importanter. And my spell check struggled with that word as well. It's not a word, I'm not picking on an individual. I don't even know who it was anymore. And he thought he liked hockey. What do we like? You know, if we could print our hood sweaters, what would we put on them? Are we seeking a deeper relationship from the Lord? So I told you that they gave me four answers, and here we are. The answers I received from the group, the first answer they had to this question, what's important to you, was our relationship with God. And to that I say, praise the Lord. Approximately 17-year-old youth desiring a deeper relationship with God. Why? Because they consider their relationship with God as being important. The answer they gave, number two, was family and friends. Another good answer. Do we consider family important as well as our friends? What else would you write? Number three, they said a godly testimony or a godly witness. Do you see their focus? We're called to be witnesses for the Lord. Are we developing a godly testimony, one that will inspire generations that follow to seek the Lord? Number four, they said material blessings. This group recognized that God is good, and they were thankful for his blessings. I'm not going to ask you to make a list, but in your mind, make a list if you can. You know, what is important to you? Men, we have projects we want to accomplish. Maybe trees need to be cut down. Maybe this needs to be done. And we kind of consider that high importance and set everything else aside until this or that project gets accomplished. It's not all wrong. But what is really important? Is it our relationship with Jesus Christ? And that's something to work at daily. It won't happen by default. Question number two for the group was, and for us this morning, point number two, is what is your purpose in life? As I look back on these questions a half a year later, I thought maybe it's a little hard in this group. But asking them, what is your purpose? Why are you here? How would you answer this question? Oswald Chambers wrote regarding purpose in life, I am not here to realize myself, but to know Jesus. And please allow me to add, and to make him known. Is that our goal? I think we understand that we are all here for a purpose. We were not created to proceed through life fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Look at, in the same chapter, look at verses 13 through first part of 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as men as be perfect, be thus minded. Stop there. Notice the steps given for purpose here. First of all, we need to forget those things which are behind. We can't live in the past, neither should we dwell upon it. If there is sin in our past, let's not forget it. Let's confess and repent. And then and only then are we free to move on. So take care of that if there's things we need to take care of. Forget those things which are behind. Now here we have it. We need to press forward or reach forward to those things which are ahead. Do you see self-motivation coming out here? I don't believe we should ever get to the point in our lives where we can say, I reached a plateau, now I can just coast on for the rest of my life. I think we should continue to strive to reaching forward day after day so we reach our highest potential and never stop growing. Reaching forth needs to be a daily effort. Do we have a desire to learn more and more about our Creator? Trust that can be our goal. And I believe the deeper our understanding of Christ, the clearer his purpose for our lives will become. You ever say, well, I'm not sure what I should be doing. I'm not going to fault you for that. But the deeper our understanding, and that's all, that's on each individual this morning, as far as how deep we want to come with Christ. The deeper we go with Christ, the clearer his purpose for our lives will become. But the whole tenor of Paul's writing is that the Christian life is one of struggle and effort. Not said negatively, but just said that's a fact. There is no indication that once we become a Christian or a believer that our troubles are going to disappear. The blessings outweigh the trial by far. But as we go on through life, the world and the flesh and the devil will continue to confront us with obstacles that must be overcome daily with the help of Christ. We're always connected and getting our strength from Jesus Christ. So we need his help daily to overcome what we are facing. But if we fail to hold forth our purpose in life, if we fail to continue to reach forward and just put our hands behind our back and say, yep, yeah, this is all good, what's going to happen is we'll lose our way with the Lord. But Paul says he's not going to do that. He says, I press towards the mark. And then he gives the mark of the in verse 14. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize awaiting the faithful when we step into glory. That day is coming. And the way we conduct our lives today will determine the outcome of our stepping when we get to that day and we can meet Jesus face to face. But we're called to press forward. Effort is required. And if we coast along, we become disqualified. And then verse 15, another one for purpose here, it said that we, being thus minded, we're to see eye to eye with him in this manner. And what he is, he's calling us to be committed. So your purpose in life, are you making a positive impact on the life of others? What are you leaving behind? Second of all, do you know Jesus? And are you making him known? The answers from the class, number one, on their purpose, honor and glorify God. And obviously, according to verse 15 there, they were thus minded here. Then it's number two, the answer was model Christ in all areas. I think we all know what a model is. It's a resemblance of, correct, or a replica, but as close to the original as possible. And they said, I want to model Christ in all areas. And folks, that's a notable goal. I challenge you to leave you with that one as well, to model Christ. Number three, spread Christ's love, which would fall into the category of knowing him and making him known. You know, we can't spread good news about something or someone unless we know them personally. And number four, they had theirs purpose was encourage others. Build up, and they're not going to be tearing down. Striving to make a positive impact. Your purpose, God created us, you and I, to have relationship with others and a relationship with him. We were created for relationships. He has a desire to be for us to be connected to him through Jesus Christ. And ultimately, our purpose in life should be to fulfill his will. That brings us to the third question I asked him. And the third question was, where do you want to be spiritually in 5 years? Where do you want to be spiritually in 5 years? And I think we need to tag a point from the previous question here, that we continue to press forward, that we warning against becoming complacent. But turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for a few verses on this question. Where do you want to be spiritually in 5 years? Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Verse 22, Hebrews 10. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that hath promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto good works, unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. A vibrant relationship with God will not happen without applying effort. As we heard Terry Myers a few weeks ago, we need to be intentional about our relationship with God. If we are going to be on fire for the Lord in 5 years, we need to start today by being on fire and maintaining that flame each and every day. We are encouraged to draw near. We are called to go to God. We must go to God intimately and frequently. How? He says, with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. Couple that with confidence, being free from an evil conscience, cleansed. Folks, we have been given free access and direct access into the presence of God. He has made that available for each one of us. Let's take full advantage of that freedom. So we begin our walk with God in this way, one day at a time. And the question is, what happens after 5 years? If we apply verse 22 to our daily lives, I am confident that we will be growing closer and closer to the Lord each day. If we draw near to Him with our hearts in full assurance of faith, being cleansed, we will continue to draw near and near. Verse 22 develops stability. If we are there, we'll be on the correct road, heading in the right direction with our sights on glory. And then we're ready for the next step. Verse 23, hold fast. Proceed with seatbelts securely fastened. Hold fast without wavering. Folks, we are called to cling to the truth, the profession of our faith, or the hope of our salvation. The faithful are promised eternal homes in heaven. And because of the promise, we are going to hold on to the fact that someday we will meet Jesus face to face, whether that be 5, 20, or 60 years, whatever it may be. Question, are we going to be found with those who are, verse 23, holding fast? Where will you be? I told the class 5 years. That's just to get your mind thinking. Where will you be 10, 60? Where will you be? What are you folks standing upon today? And it's not only holding fast, there is more. It's being open and being public with our testimony of a faith in Jesus Christ. We need to be open about that. The present tense of the verb hold fast, our confession, suggests the importance of continuing to voice our faith. Continuing to voice our faith. Yes, becoming a believer in Christ is step number one, and being rooted and grounded in the truth of the word is a good step as well. But I think as a Christian, we need to be verbal about our faith and do it without becoming apologetic or hesitant. I hunted a little bit, so I'm not picking on anybody here this morning, but man, the hunting stories could really go around, couldn't they? I was walking through there, and I seen this, and I up and boom, and you know what happened, and we could talk and talk and talk, but what about our faith? And I'm talking to myself as well. Sometimes we hesitate a little bit more on that, but we're supposed to have boldness, as we see there in verse 19, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Back to verse 23, hold fast, how? Without wavering. All right, more responsibility for us, refusing to waver back and forth between varied opinions. Is that you and I this morning? We will know what we believe. And then we're going to adopt the truth, apply that as convictions, and stand firm at all times. And this is all possible for the Christian to maintain this hope because God, who promises salvation, always has been and always will, and He'll be faithful to keep His promises. One of the greatest needs in our communities today is for God's people to be a witness to the faith, to live it out, facing life's frustrations in a Christ-like manner, and holding fast to the truth of God's word, refusing to compromise. So many things the devil tries to get in there and will compromise here and that, but we will refuse. Verse 23 requires commitment, and verse 23 requires dedication. But the child of God who has a desire to hold fast will be willing to settle for nothing less. There are some things we get dogmatic about, and we can pound our fists, but what are we dogmatic about holding fast and following Jesus Christ. Can we say that as the songwriter said, fully surrender, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. If we're going to build a house, we begin with a foundation and then proceed building thereupon, stopping only when we are finished. In our Christian life, we begin by building our faith on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. And then we continue building day after day after day, refusing to stop until we step directly into the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. You know, it's okay to begin with a 5-year plan. As I said before, that was just to get you start thinking, looking into the future. But by the grace of God, make your 5-year plan, turn it into a lifetime plan, and live each day as if it were your last. Answers I received from the class on where you want to be spiritually in 5 years. Number one, I would like to be more reliant on God and not always trying to figure stuff out myself. A challenge for us all. Simply relying more and more on God, recognizing our weakness and His strength. Number two, I'd like to be challenged in a deeper way and experience the hardships of a missionary and be bold enough to witness to other people in a different culture. Maybe I should go back and find out who penned this answer. Here we have someone that's ready to go. But how many people this morning can say, I want to endure hardship, and I want to witness to people who don't even know, possibly don't even know my home language? Wow. That person there, I don't know who it was, asking the Lord to take them into a difficult situation so they can be effective for the Lord. I challenge us to take our faith to a deeper level. They were not content to dwell in their normal comfort zone. Number three, I would like to trust and pray more. Just not one of the things we usually pray about, but like to pray whenever and wherever. Again, I repeat, 17, 18-year-old asking the Lord for a deeper prayer life, a closer walk with the Lord. Challenge for each one of us. Number four, I would like to have a more meaningful devotional time. You know, I believe it thrills the heart of God when we pen commitments like these. And what we see here is a desire for more and more of Him. Or you could develop a plan. Where will you be spiritually? Just to stay with a point in 5 years. The verse came to my mind. Nevertheless, Jesus asked a question in a parable, Luke 18. A question with a challenge. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Now, I know I mentioned that before, but the question I leave with you, when the Lord returns, are you going to be found with the faithful? Are you going to remain faithful? And I asked myself, what tone of voice did Jesus use when He asked that question, when He was telling that parable? And the tone of voice He used is not as important as our answer to the question. If we are not actively applying effort in our spiritual walk with the Lord, we could be far away in 5 years. But those who are serious with the Lord will not lose their way, but remain right by His side. Question number four, moving on, that I had for the class was, what goals do you wish to accomplish in the next 10 years? Now, maybe this question is a bit repetitious. It could sum up all the others. Please remember, I was asking a group of students who were looking forward to their final year of high school. So many times after graduation is what happens next. So their answers were ones you would expect. Graduate from high school, number one. That's important when you're that age. The life of a student in senior class, that is important. Number two, they said get married. Number three, a good job. Number four, mission trip. Let's zero in on that one just a little bit. Goals through a 10-year window and a mission trip is a commendable goal and hopefully in reach for many there in the class. But is a missions trip one of your 10-year goals? Is the Lord calling you? The missions trips are not only just for young, but I believe we should always be thinking this direction with an open mind, ready to go, but willing to stay. So may God bless you in this, as you look at, consider this goal in your life, what the next 10 years looks like for you. For a few verses, turn to Psalm 25. When we think about 10 years here, David's writing, seeking forgiveness, and he lists a number of goals that we could imitate to accomplish godly goals in our future. Psalm 25:1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, and here we see, I trust in thee. So let's just take some of the words that he penned and apply it to our lives. I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. And there we have two, as we trust in the Lord and also not be ashamed of our faith in him. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. And verse 4, look here at this teachable spirit, the desire to learn. He says, Lord, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. You know, if we're going to stay with the Lord faithfully for the rest of our lives, we need to be open, asking the Lord, show us and teach us. Look at verse 5. Lead me into thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Here we see submission and seeking more truth. Remember, Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have ever been of old. Verse 7, maybe you start zeroing in on the reason for this psalm. But he says, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy tender mercies. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Now, I'm not sure how you answered the question in your mind about your goals within 10 years, but here's something we can learn from David. He is asking the Lord to forget his past. He had done some things he regrets and wished the Lord would forget them. But so what can we learn this morning? It is simply, don't live a life of regret. Apply verses 2 through 5 so we can avoid verse 7. Yes, we as humans make mistakes. And we will make mistakes, but when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are being led by the Lord, we will be able to step over or completely avoid the traps the devil sets on our path. We can also learn from him on being quick to ask for forgiveness when we fail. But let's allow us to learn from the mistakes of others, and so we do not live a life of regret. How many people can look back on their lives, do not raise your hands, because my hand would be the first one up, and say, some things that I did back there I regret, and I wish that would not have happened. So whatever age you're at this morning, if you can't look back yet and say that, God bless you, but keep it that way. David, right in here, Lord, forget them things I did. So let's not live a life of regret. If we think about 10 years, we can start today. Well, obviously, we need to start today. And don't do things that we're going to look back on when we get older and say, oh boy, that was very unwise. Goals, 10 years, what the Bible tells us to do, seek those things which are above. Set your eyes on heavenly things. Seek the lost, winning souls for the Lord. Hebrews talks about being able to discern both good and evil. Here we see wisdom kicking in. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee? Here we have a requirement. And here we have it, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Just a verse that we could just take, and there's 3 points right there. Old Testament verse, and apply them. Ask yourself the question, are you doing that justly, doing justly? Are you loving mercy and walking humbly? Romans 13:14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to consider that as just clothing yourself with, and says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. As Christians, we're to model Christ in all areas. So when people see us, wherever we are at, whatever time we are at, they're supposed to see Christ. Songwriter said, the light of truth to us display and make us know and choose thy way. And then the part I like to drill you to remember here, it said this, the familiar hymn, it says, plant holy fear in every heart that we from God may never depart. If our relationship with God is of utmost importance, we will follow him, and the 5 and 10 number will be tossed aside, and we will transfer that into a lifetime commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ. in closing, for all of us, for all who hold their relationship with God of utmost importance, for all who hold their relationship with God of utmost importance, you will be blessed with the reality of meeting Jesus Christ face to face and hearing him say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So I leave you with a question this morning. What do you consider of utmost importance? Let's pray. God, we just come before you this morning, thankful for your word and for the men that you inspired to write the word. Thank you for the examples that we can learn from. Help us to be willing to press forward like Paul was. Help us, Lord, not to live in the life of regret, but allow you to direct our steps. Lord, may we consider our relationship with you of utmost importance. Many things in life try to push you off that throne, but Lord, may we never compromise, but recognize you as king of our lives and keep you there on the throne and serve you faithfully. Whether that would be 5 or 10 years or longer, may we be faithful until we step into glory and see you face to face. Give us that determination to be committed and dedicated to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.